Allison, remember when the whole family used to come together to watch a TV show, sitting there on the couch with a big bowl of freshly popped popcorn, Mr. Scraps the dog quizzically staring at the TV from in front of the coffee table?
Mr. Scraps?
Life was great when I lived in a Norman Rockwell painting. Okay, so maybe it wasn't exactly that idyllic, but there was a time when TV watchers kind of lived their lives around TV schedules. Remember, must-see TV. Okay, but now with TiVo and DVR and all these ways to record television, the whole way people consume TV is changing. And that has TV networks worried. It's created a whole new hassle in the BPP break room.
This is so true.
Spoilers, as in you can't talk about anything because someone hasn't watched it yet and they'll get mad at you, Dan Pashman. Well, Brian Lowry looks at this stuff much more closely than we do. He's a columnist and TV critic for Variety magazine, and he joins us now. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good morning.
Well, first off, I mean, are there any numbers out there right now about what percentage of TV viewers are now using some kind of DVR type device?
Yeah, it's actually grown dramatically in just about the last year, year and a half. The latest data shows that when the last TV season started, about 9% of people had a DVR or TiVo, some kind of device like that. This fall, it's close to 20%.
Whoa.
So it's surged in a very short order, in large part because the cable systems and satellite operators have basically started giving this away.
Yeah, you get the sense that pretty soon it's just going to come with your cable box. Right now, I think there's a nominal fee increase, but it's going to probably have a lot of permeation, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, it used to be these things were $300, $400. Now, you can get them often for $5, $6 a month. And when it just gets absorbed into your cable bill, it's really not that big a deal.
Well, what does that mean for the networks? I mean, I'm trying to think of the last time I watched a TV commercial because I TiVo everything, actually I DVR everything, and then I fast forward through it. Plus, there's this whole idea of lead-in shows where you sort of put something after Seinfeld because then people will watch it, but that doesn't matter if everything's all episodic. What are the networks doing?
Well, it hasn't completely broken down the system yet, but it's starting to break down the system. So what you're seeing is, you're right, lead-ins are much less important than they used to be. The idea that you take a mediocre show and put it between two good ones and people watch it out of sheer attrition, it just doesn't work anymore. A lot of times people don't even know what the schedule is. I'd say what it really is doing is two things. It's forcing networks to get more and more crazy about product integration, which is to try to, you know, weave the ads into the show. So that's part of it. And then the other part is that they're trying to get the shows exposed a million other ways. They want you to be able to download it on iTunes. They want you to buy the DVD. The TV airing is sort of just the tip of the iceberg now.
Have you seen how much vitamin water they drink during Rescue Me? It makes me crazy how much vitamin water they drink during that
NBC
show.
is insane with this. The
Yeah.
Office is like an Office Depot commercial. They're losing clients to Office Depot, and then 30 Rock was trying to make a joke about it, but it was a shameless, shameless plug for Jerry Seinfeld's B movie.
Right. Well, actually, I mean, in some instances, The Office is actually fairly clever with it. You know, it's sort of like if we're going to do this horrible shilling, we're going to be funny about it. So they will throw in, you know, they'll sing the Chili's Baby Back Rib song in the middle of the show. What bothers me, and I'll never forget this one, is when it's so ham-handed. There was an episode of an NBC show called Surface where two characters have a near-death experience, and the guy says, "You know what I want now?" And the next scene, they're at McDonald's. And
Oh.
you know, if I have a near-death experience, that's not going to be my first meal.
Go to the yellow light shaped like an M. So Nielsen, the rating system for who's watching which TV shows, they've started to integrate in TiVo and DVR data, I understand. How's that working?
Well, so far it's very interesting. I mean, you know, that what they're seeing is that they now have, and your head's going to explode, but they now have live plus same day ratings. So that means if you watched it on TiVo in the first day, they have live plus 3 day ratings and live plus 7 day ratings. And for the first week, they put out some data, and what they found was really, really interesting. I mean, 2 million more people watched Survivor after its initial airing.
2 million?
2 million. So, you know, when you start to get to those figures, you know, and 15 or 16 watched it initially. So you're talking about the numbers going up 10, 15, 20%. And especially in cities where you're seeing that a lot of people, I mean, in Los Angeles, we're way ahead on DVRs. The figure is much higher than other places. If you go out a week in Los Angeles, the number for Lost close to doubles.
Wow. Well,
because people tape it and watch it when they feel like it.
Well, on the subject of Survivor, our editor, Trish McKinney, is obsessed with it, and it's one of these shows that if you come in and you want to talk about it, you should probably check with her and make sure that she's seen it. She has this whole elaborate system for watching it online and not finding out the ending. Here's my question to you, Brian. What is the socially acceptable cutoff date for worrying about a spoiler alert? Like, if you haven't seen the final episode of Rock of Love and it's 2 weeks later, that's your problem, right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had this experience recently where I was writing about the new season of Dexter on Showtime, and it didn't seem untoward to kick off the new season by talking about where the first season ended. And I got a very hostile email saying, hey, I'm watching the first season on DVD, and you just ruined it for me. So all of those kind of rules have sort of broken down. The one thing you can't do anymore, and we're very conscious of it, is write about something the day after it aired.
Right.
You know, I saw a lot of pieces about The Sopranos counting down toward the end, and there was enough DVR playback of that if you were to write about The Sopranos on Monday or Tuesday morning after it aired on Sunday, I think there's a real chance you were going to tick people.
There was one person in our office who hadn't seen it, and so none of us could talk about it because a guy whose name rhymes with Schmolkenflicht who had it TiVo'd.
And he writes about Schmedia.
That's right.
For NPR.
Brian Lowry, columnist and movie critic and TV critic for Variety. Thank you so much for talking to us.
My pleasure.